Hi, folks. This is Roger Saloom. I'm so pleased to be able to finally present some of the music of some of the people that I love and I've grown up with. And it's just thrilling to me. My job is to make you feel better, make me feel better, too. But that's really what it's all about. My real name is Roger Saloom, or Roger, does this mean I'm arrested officer, Saloom? So that was Fats Domino from 1959, I'm Ready. The next tune we're going to play is Van Morrison, and I believe it's Van's tribute to Domino. He loved Fats Domino. In some people's world, Fats Domino invented rock and roll, and he was making rock and roll records. He was playing boogie-woogie piano before the 1950s, and he was playing juke joints and the Chitlin' Circuit before the 1950s. He's really a seminal figure that's been largely forgotten because he was a humble, sweet, quiet guy. Anyway, here's Fats Domino, who I did a gig with back in the 1960s, around 1969, 68. He was skinny then, so was I. He was quiet, very shy. We shared a dressing room. He had a little skinny girlfriend with him, probably from America or England. And I believe Van is Irish. And he was very shy. And he had just come out with the album Into the Mystic. And we were at either the Carousel Ballroom or the Avalon Ballroom. And it was a cool time. Anyway, here's Van Morrison's Domino. I love it.
Their kids are going to ground, get some heavy rest. Never have to worry about what is worst or what is best. Do it.
I said, oh. That just meant it didn't call.
Again, folks, this is Roger Saloom again. Actually, my other full name is Roger, the enemy of everything that still works, Saloom. So I'm here, and I showed you the connection between Domino by Fats Domino, Van Morrison and Fats Domino. And I'll tell you another little fact. The opening guitar piece, it's A and D, roughly in variations thereof, was done by a local guy near me named John Sheldon. I believe it was recorded when Van was living in Boston, because John is a New England guy, but I could be wrong. But John Sheldon is a wonderful guitar player. Anyway, he created that little infectious alternating between A and D. Of course, Van Morrison actually wrote that, but then John made it so much cooler. And here's the next song. There's a trend or a theme that runs through a lot of these players, and it's the blues. So let me play a blues person for you, but I'm not going to play a man blues person. Though there's plenty of men. There's a wonderful woman named Memphis Minnie, and she played her own guitar, and she's pretty cool. And dig this groove. This makes me feel good when I listen to this. I just feel just wonderful inside. I can't tell you why. But here's Chauffeur Blues by Memphis Minnie. He won't need no passengers.
can be my little boy. Yes, I'll be his girl.
Blues is American haiku. It's a fixed form like the haiku and the sonnet, but it was given to us by our black African brothers and sisters down south in the Mississippi Valley, Mississippi River Valley. You can't play rock and roll if you can't have first learned the blues. There's something about it. It's very, very simple. It's usually three chords. Frequently, the first two lines are rhymed. They're identical, and they rhyme with the third one. But if you don't have a pair of blue jeans in your closet, then you don't have a full closet. You don't have a full set of clothes. And the same thing as being an American musician. If you can't play the blues, you really shouldn't be playing rock and roll. I remember when I'd see a lot of the English guys come through, they didn't have any blues in them, and they knew it. And they always, when they would come across an American blues group, either a black or a white one, they knew that we had one hand up on them. But they were very professional, those English guys, really professional musicians, took their job seriously. Anyway, the blues is much harder to perform than you think. It's what you leave out and don't put in, sort of. But you constantly fine-tune it, so there's a little subtle thing here and a little subtle thing there. And you could hear Memphis Minnie do that. Just a couple notes. But it's really all about feeling. You've got to have feeling. If you don't have feeling, people just walk away. They're not interested. And the blues isn't always about being sad. In fact, it's not about being sad. It's about being jubilant after being sad. The blues was never hugely popular, but there were some periods there. And Jimmy Reed had top 10, top 20 hits. And he was blues. He'd never be a top 10 or top 20 artist today. Just never get through the clank and the drudgery out there in the music world. But he was a beautiful soul, and my friend Charles Neville played with him. Charles played with me for 10 years, but he actually played with Jimmy Reed. So Jimmy, towards the end of his career, would forget his lyrics, and his wife would be on stage with him, and she'd whisper the lyrics into his ear in concert. So here's a little Jimmy Reed, Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man, can't you hear me when I call? Big Boss Man, well, you ain't so big, you just told us all. Got me waking, boss man, waking around the clock. I want a little drink of water, but you won't let Jimmy start, big boss. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just told us all. Treat me right, work hard in the daytime, rest easy at night, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just tall as all.
Hi again, folks. Roger Saloon back at you. So that was Jimmy Reed. His, I think his biggest hit was You Got Me Running. But white guys have been playing blues early too, but they picked it up from the black folks. Those black folks were dirt poor. Their first guitars were Sears Roebucks, order through the mail guitars. And some of them didn't even have money for guitar. And the first thing they played was they put nails up on a barn wall and put wire in between there, and that's where they made their first sound. That's how primitive it was when they were poor. But there was a guy named Jimmy Rogers who was about as popular as Elvis Presley in his day, and he died from tuberculosis, did his last sessions at RCA Victor on a cot in New York City. But he was very popular, and he sang blues. He's the first white guy that I know of who sang blues, and he was also the first guy to ever yodel on record. So here's another blues tune, and after that we're going to leave the blues and go on to some derivative stuff that came from the blues. So here's Jimmy Rogers. I think it's T for Texas. Actually, this is called the Blue Yodel. A lot of times blues songs are named after the first line, but not in this case. But listen to the format. See if he repeats that first line. And listen how he makes it his by yodeling. Remember, this is around 1920s. Okay, let's let it rip. The legendary Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman. I just went to his birthplace in Meridian, Mississippi. They got a little tiny museum for him. Okay, let's let it go.
T for Texas, T for Tennessee. T for Texas, T for Tennessee. T for Thelma, that gal that made a wreck out of me. If you don't want me, mama, you sure don't have to stall. Cause I can get more women than a passenger train can haul. Just as long as I'm tall, Lord, Lord, I'm gonna buy me a pistol. Just as long as I'm tall, I'm gonna shoot poor Thelma just to see her jump and fall. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady. I'm going where the water drinks like cherry wine. Sing 'em, boy, sing 'em. Lord, I'm going where the water drinks like cherry wine. Cause the Georgia water tastes like turpentine. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady. I'm gonna buy me a shotgun with a great long shiny barrel. Gonna buy me a shotgun with a great long shiny barrel. I'm gonna shoot that rounder that stole away my gal.
father law. Brother drank muddy water and sleep in a holler law. Than to be in Atlanta, treated like a dirty dog. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady.
Hi, back again. So we're not going to dwell in that era or the blues. We're going to go to guys who have been influenced and women who've been influenced by the blues. And one of the modern guys is a fellow named John Cleary. I heard him about 4 years ago, and I knew he was great then. And when I heard him, John Cleary and his Monster Gentleman, I was really convinced that this guy was the most exciting thing in New Orleans at the time. And there's a lot of exciting things in New Orleans. But for me, John Cleary's When You Get Back is just lovely. He won a Grammy Award last year. I'm not surprised, and I'm pleased that he got that recognition. He's actually from England or the British Isles somewhere. And so here's John Cleary singing a song written by a Nashville songwriter called When You Get Back.
Hong Kong, and she dug it even better, calling long distance on the phone, and cool and sexy, getting that postcard from Brazil, oh, but now back here back home, all she'll want to give is the chill, she said, when you get back, we're gonna cha-cha all night long, but she lied, she said, when you get back, we're gonna sing a different song. Cause there ain't no
So one of the things I like about that John Cleary song is it starts off what's called music lingo is rubato, which means there's no rhythm. And he just sort of sets it up, and then he goes click, and the band is in there right away with the rhythm. They're a great, great musicians. You ever get a chance to catch him, please do. He's still quite very much under the radar. I did about 5 gigs with a band called The Band. I was quite humbled and a little overwhelmed that I was opening for them. It happened a bunch. But when I did that, the whole band was there except for this guy you're going to hear next, Robbie Robertson. He had decided to save his health and not stay on the road anymore. And I know at some point he moved out of Woodstock and he moved to L.A. And he has a son, I think, Sebastian Robertson. But listen to this song. It's got a pop element to it that I love, and I'm not a big pop guy, but he has this repetitive keyboard line that just puts it all together. It's a lovely song about when he was young and when the dreams and the idealism of his life was a powerful stream within his existence. So here's Robbie Robertson from The Band, and we're going to have a lot more of those guys because I crossed paths with them, and I just had a long talk with Louis Hurwitz, who produced the last 100 songs of The Band after a lot of them were gone, but they were still The Band. But listen to that keyboard part. It's very infectious. It's in the background, but they knew what they were doing. I love the guitar work. And this reminds me of John Cleary, too. This is When the Night Was Young by Robbie Robertson.
Straight south in a sundown light on Highway 61 through the Delta night. We shared the back roads with card sharks and grifters, tent show evangelists, and Luke the Drifter. Been gone way too long. We had dreams when the night was young. We were believers when the night was young. We could change the world, stop the war. Never seen nothing like this before. But that was the sign reads, God bless America. Yeah. Guns and ammo. I'm not sure that's what it means. The sign reads, repent. The end is near. I'm not sure that's what we need. Get your heart beating in the right direction. That's when you make a real connection. We had dreams when the night was young. We were believers when the night was young. We could change the world.
So that was Robbie Robertson. We're going to go even a little further out. We're going to go to a Steely Dan tune, not too old one. Steely Dan was really a duo of Walter Becker and Donald Fagen. And it adds a little jazz into rock and roll and blues, a little jazz flavor. Jazz was a marriage of, it was the child of blues and ragtime. And it's hard to explain why this is jazzy, but other people can tell you why, but I know I can feel it. But listen to his Cousin Dupree song, and like a lot of rock and roll, it's a little risque and a little dangerous. So enjoy this, Steely Dan's Cousin Dupree.
Watching the wax.
So I'm a singer-songwriter, and I have a band, and for 10 years I had a guy named Charles Neville. He had played with Big Joe Turner, Jimmy Reed, James Brown, of course the Neville Brothers. He had a Grammy Award, which I didn't know until about 2 years into playing with him. I had to look it up online. He never told me. If I were him, I'd introduce myself as, "Hi, I'm Roger Saloom, Grammy Award winner." But he never did that. He was a much cooler guy than me. He turned me on to this guy, Louis Jordan, who was a transitional figure between the big bands and the small big bands. Louis just had maybe 5-6 pieces, a small band, because the road couldn't sustain the big bands of 10, 15, 20 players. And Louis kind of hints at rock and roll, which was coming. So here's a tune that I did. And I have Charles Neville on sax and Pete Grimaldi on trumpet, Dave Lincoln on drums, the wonderful Jeff Dostal on bass, and the lovely Joe Boyle on guitar. All these guys are great players. They've played with Aretha Franklin, The Temptations, and many, many others. They're really great players. I'm honored to have them in my band. And they don't do it for the money, because that's not why they do it. They do it because they like it. So here's a little tune called Knock Me a Kiss. It's a little bit of fun and mischief.
Insist. I cut out that cake just for your sake. Hey babe, come on, knock me a kiss. I like pie, but I hope to die. Get a load of this. When you get high, the doggone pie. Hey babe, come on, knock me a kiss. When you press your little lips to but no flim flam, scratch it off my list. This ain't no jam, the jam can scram. Hey babe, come
me a kiss.
I have a bad habit of going in there and just whipping off the lead vocal, and I did it on that song. I think I can sing it better, but it is what it is. I hope you like it. Maybe I'll record it again. I want to play for you a woman who I heard back in the 70s, and I heard her version of it and the wonderful Linda Ronstadt's. But I felt for that tune anyway that Bonnie really, really grabbed it. Bonnie Raitt, she's also blues-based. She used to be really a blues singer, and then she started recording other tunes. So here's Bonnie Raitt, and listen how deep it goes. She got this song from some Nashville songwriters. It's called I Can't Make You Love Me. Some of us have found ourselves in that position where we love someone so much, but they don't really love you back. And at some point, the curtain falls, the door closes, and you're alone again.
Final hours.
So here's another guy that I really like. And he was before Bonnie Raitt. And he died way before his time. He was messing around with drugs, I understand, and maybe that's what killed him. He's known for the song, If I Were a Carpenter and You Were a Lady. Excuse me. And a lot of people have recorded him. But here's one of his tunes, and it's all about, you know, the outlaw. A lot of people feel they're on the outside of goodness and the right thing. And he casts himself as a criminal, which maybe he was, but probably a small-time criminal. But his name is Tim Hardin. He used to hang out with Love and Spoonful and John Sebastian, those guys. Here's The Lady Came from Baltimore. Listen to how, once again, it's got that easily back and forth. If you're a guitar player, you know, you're hitting the low E and the D string, and it's got a little nice lope to it. But well-produced and not overproduced. So here's to Tim Hardin and The Lady Came from Baltimore.
Lady came from Baltimore. All she wore was lace. She didn't know that I was poor. She never saw my place. I was there to steal her money, to take her reins and run. Then I fell in love with a lady, got away with none. The lady's name was Susan Moore, her daddy read the law. She didn't know that I was poor and lived outside the law. Her daddy said I was a thief and didn't marry her for love. I was Susan's true belief and married her for love. I was there to steal her money, to take her rings and run. And then I fell in love with a lady, got away with none. The house she lived in had a wall to keep the robbers out. She never stopped to think at all, but that's what I'm about. I was there to steal her money, take her rings and run. Then I fell in love with a lady, got away with none.
So this next tune has a little lopiness to it, too. It's very hypnotic. It's very repetitious. It's Townes Van Zandt, a guy that I met and hung out with a little bit. I was friends with Guy Clark and Rodney Crowell and Richard Dobbins and Rex Bell and Skinny Dennis, who played with me quite a while, for quite a bit. And we would go to party. And the last time I saw Townes Van Zandt, we were at a party, and they were having a spitting contest. They were all drunk as skunks, and the trick was to walk a step and spit on your cowboy boot, then walk the next step, spit on the other cowboy boot, and see how long you could stay that coordinated. That's how drunk they were. And Townes is another guy who died before his time because of probably, you know, what I would call nowadays clinical depression, but he messed with some bad substances, and He left us these beautiful songs. He was a powerful songwriter. I got some more to tell you about some of those other songwriters, but here's Townes Van Zandt's Pancho and Lefty.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye, and sank into your dreams. Pancho was a bandit voice. His horse was
fast as polished steel. Wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico, and nobody heard his dying words. That's the way it goes. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him hang around out of kindness, I suppose. Well, Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust that Pancho bit down south ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor Pancho low, Lefty split for Ohio, and where he got the bread to go, oh, there ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day, and only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. Tell how Pancho fell. Lefty's living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Pancho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He just did what he had to do. Oh, now he's growing old. Federales say they could have had him any day, only let him go so wrong out of kindness, I suppose. A few great federales say they could have had him any day, they only let him go so wrong out of kindness, I suppose.
So, folks, that's the end of it. I think we're about an hour, and thanks so much for listening. This is Roger Saloom, and I dedicate this show to, sure as the sun follows the moon, to thine own self be true. Or I dedicate it to the very good advice, take your medication, you'll feel better. Bye now.